You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube and follow Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get podcasts for episodes every day, Monday through Friday. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. We have a mailbag episode for you here today. That's right, we are kicking off the week, sort of. We played on Monday. We had for you on the podcast my green room conversation with Bram Hilsman from Friday. And this is our first episode on YouTube for the week. And like I said, we are kicking it off with a mailbag. Going to get to a bunch of questions here from people who sent in things via email. You could send questions into my email, wcgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. You could tweet them at me, at wcgoldberg. You can hit me up in the DMs, on Twitter, on Instagram, both at wcgoldberg. So thank you to everybody who did submit questions. This is your chance every week to control the show. You call the shots. You determine what direction we're going in and what we talk about here. And we'll start with this first question. Let's jump right in from Bud, who writes in, do you know how much about the Dubs' plan to work out and interview the likely picks? Davion Mitchell, James Bouknight, Moses Moody, Giddey, Wagner, Kispert, Kay and Jay Johnson, so Keon and Jalen Johnson, and Chris Duarte. I've seen lots of other names, likely undrafted guys, I guess in the case that they trade picks and have a slot for one. So the undrafted guys, these fringe prospects that you've seen people like me and other reporters tweet out that the Warriors are working out at Chase Center, those are guys that they are hosting those workouts for, right? Those types of workouts are usually reserved for fringe draft picks, for guys that the Warriors are looking at to maybe be on the G League roster in Santa Cruz, to maybe fill potentially a two-way contract, even though that is even less likely in the case of those guys. So it's rare that they are going to host one of these top prospects, right? The top picks, the Davion Mitchells, right? The Josh Giddeys, the Jalen Johnsons, the Keon Johnson, these kinds of guys tend to host their own workouts, right? So wherever they're working out in the summer, teams will visit them and they will take a look at them. They'll interview them in that city, wherever they're at. That's typically what happens. And you can look back to last year in James Wiseman. The Warriors didn't host James Wiseman. They visited him in Miami. And that wasn't just because of the coronavirus pandemic, right? This happens every single year. If they were allowed to see Wiseman, they could have seen him in San Francisco. No. These top prospects call the shots. They decide who they want to work out in front of, who they want to see them. You see this kind of gamesmanship every year where sometimes the top prospects say, you know what, I don't want you to see me work out because maybe he's trying to angle himself to a specific team at the top of the draft. The Warriors, by the way, a long time ago, before Steph, before the dynasty, used to be one of those teams that top prospects would avoid having at their workouts. They didn't want to get drafted to the Golden State Warriors. Now they do. But that said, it's still not really the practice for these top guys to go and fly to a different market in the middle of their workouts to work out for in front of these teams. No, because they know that those teams, their scouting departments, they have scouts and coaches and GMs who will fly to go see them. So no reason to interrupt their own workouts to fly and go see these teams. That's why you see like the names, a lot of the guys that you never even heard of, those are the guys that are working out in front of the Warriors at Chase Center. Now that said, the Warriors have worked out a number of these top picks. We know a few of them already, right? And most of them were at the draft combine in Chicago a couple weeks ago. And so Bob Myers was at the draft combine. Steve Kerr was at the combine in Chicago 2 weeks ago. And so the other kinds of players, the other players that were there, for example, Scotty Barnes out of FSU, Bouknight, Jalen Green, Jalen Johnson, Keon Johnson, Jonathan Kuminga, Davion Mitchell, Moses Moody, Zaire Williams out of Stanford. We know that those guys were at the combine. We know that the Warriors worked out a few of them, if not all of them. In fact, I would be very surprised if the Warriors didn't have some kind of interaction with all of those guys. That's part of their due diligence. And I will also say this in the case of the Warriors. They value very much that in-person interview, those kinds of conversations, not just the workouts, but the interviews, the conversations that you have with these players. You hear Bob Myers talk about this all the time. We're going to hire somebody and pay this person $5+ million a year before we even really get to know them. Well, then we really need to be blown away in these interviews that they want to, they try to find the character in the person and all those things. Obviously, they want to draft somebody who's talented enough to go into that kind of slot, right, in that part of the draft. But they've put a lot of value in the kind of character and the kind of takeaways that they get from these interviews. So I think that these interviews will be very important, and they'll continue to do their due diligence between now and the NBA draft at the end of the month. This next question comes from Chris, who writes in, these 6-for-1 trade scenarios, Wiseman, 7, 14, Wiggins, 2 future firsts, a.k.a. the Warriors' entire future, for Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard, begs the question, could this team win the West? Now, this is the question that somebody like Bob Myers has to ask himself if and when he were to pull the trigger on a trade for, let's say, Bradley Beal, Ben Simmons, Damian Lillard, Zach LaVine, whoever you think the Warriors could go after. If that kind of option were on the table for Bob Myers, he needs to ask himself, how much closer does this get us to winning a championship? Because that's the goal, right? Is to win the championship. And is it worth mortgaging your entire future? And is it worth not only mortgaging your future, but the opportunity cost that comes along with that to add some substantial depth, right? Because if you're moving Wiseman, 7, 14, Wiggins, future first-round picks, depth pieces like Jordan Poole or something like that, if you're moving all of this for another superstar player, you need to be really confident that not only is that superstar player going to get you over the hump, but that you could fill out the rest of that roster, right, with mid-level exceptions and minimum contracts and things like that, because you're not going to have these draft picks and you're not going to have the upside of Wiseman and you're not going to have a good player in Wiggins, who probably isn't worth $30 million a year, but is a good player on this roster and he's a nice fit. Does the kind of player that you're getting back overcome all of that? I think in the case like a Bradley Beal, that's questionable. I don't know that that is so, right? Beal is a great three-level scorer. He can run some offense for you. He's decent enough on defense. He has enough size to be good at that end, especially if you're asking him to score, to do less on offense, if he's playing next to Steph and Clay and Draymond. I think for a guy like Lillard, you just do it. The chance to get a guy like Damian Lillard and Steph Curry on the same roster is unheard of. I mean, unheard of outside of Brooklyn, right? Everything on defense, everything else kind of figures itself out if you have a guy like Lillard. But short of a guy of Lillard or Beal, I don't know. Like, a Ben Simmons doesn't do it for me. Zach LaVine doesn't do it for me. Like, that's not the kind of player who can help an entire roster overcome very serious flaws, right? Just inherent flaws in a team that doesn't have a lot of depth. You can, like we saw Brooklyn do, like we saw the Warriors do to a certain extent, to a great extent, fill out the roster with minimum contracts and veteran minimums and stuff. Because ring chasers will come to you if you've got Steph and Damian Lillard and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green on the same roster. So, look, if it were a guy like Lillard, you do it. And I think that that would make the team a contender in the West. But this is, you're never going to get back to the point of the Kevin Durant era Warriors where you're just going to jog to the NBA Finals and you're not going to be tested because you're so dominant, because all the pieces fit together so seamlessly. That was a once-in-a-lifetime roster that was created by a cap spike in 2016. I don't think you can ever expect that level of superstardom, talent, plus perfect fit in one. Even, like I said, Brooklyn, for as much star power as they have, they're not a perfect fit. But you just take the star power and you figure it out later. If the Warriors were to acquire another star, it would look a lot more like the Brooklyn situation than it does the Kevin Durant situation. So when I hear people say, well, why would you trade for Damian Lillard? You're going to have diminishing returns on defense. You have concerns there. It didn't work, all that stuff. You just deal with it, man. Like, it's not going to be a perfect fit forever. It's just not. And if you have an opportunity to add a talent like Lillard and it doesn't cost you any of your best players, then you do it. And you don't really look back. Like, you don't even blink. You do it. For the Love writes in, Bob has made several comments about the tightening purse strings. To that end, how do you see that impacting their roster? Could they keep their draft picks to get cheaper, controllable talent rather than high-priced trade acquisition? This is a big point, and it's worth, and I'm glad that For the Love pointed it out. the one thing that we're not considering when it comes to filling out the depth, and one of the reasons why I think the Warriors are very reluctant to move off of any of these draft picks. And when I say reluctant, I don't mean that as to say that they won't do it or that they're not even shopping it. What I mean is it's going to take a lot for them to part with these picks. It's going to take a very meaningful upgrade to this roster in order for them to part with these picks. And a big reason for that is because if you can get a player at $5.5 million and $4 million or something like that at 7 and 14, who guys who can be a part of your night-to-night rotation, then there is an incredible amount of value in that, not just because they're young and under team control and can presumably get better, but also because they're just flatly more cheap than a lot of guys that you could get on the open market. And let's not also forget that the Warriors have no cap space, right? So they'll have a mid-level exception. They can add a player in that range with that taxpayer mid-level exception. But other than that, they don't have many other tools to upgrade this roster. So that is a big part of why the Warriors are going to be trying to use these picks in this draft and kind of approach, I think, the draft in a very similar way to how most teams just approach free agency. It is time for our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week in sports. If you think joy only happens when you win, think again. Look at the world's most successful athletes. They don't spend all of their days grinding away. They take the time to enjoy themselves, like having a Michelob Ultra with friends, because they know that happiness is the key to winning, and not just the end game, but the whole game. And my Michelob Ultra Player of the Week now is Kelly Oubre. You might be asking, why are you even talking about Kelly Oubre right now? I'm talking about him because by tomorrow morning, I'm going to have a piece going up on the Mercury News that is outlining everything that Kelly Oubre has to deal with this offseason as an unrestricted free agent. And I spoke with his agent to get some inside information on just what it is that Oubre is looking for. And I will give you a hint. It's not just about starting next season. Kelly Oubre wants to win. And he wants to play for a team that can contend. He has not been to the playoffs since 2018. And that is a very big part of what Kelly Oubre is looking for. And you hear that all the time in sports, right? Oh, I want to win first and foremost. And look, I am not kidding anybody. Money is going to be a major issue for Kelly Oubre. It's going to be a huge priority, a big factor in his decision. And I get into all of that in tomorrow's article. And I will also have another podcast about it tomorrow. So make sure to subscribe to Locked On Warriors for all of the inside information on just what it is that Kelly Oubre is looking for this offseason. That is joy. Winning is joy. Michelob Ultra, 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Today on the road to the finals, our NBA finals coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. Let's continue along with our mailbag. This question comes from Chris. How far up the draft board could the Warriors move by offering James Wiseman straight up for the other team's pick? What if they threw in number 14? So I'm going to assume here, Chris, that you meant Wiseman and the number 7 pick. And then we can get into a conversation of what that 14th pick can do. But let's start with Wiseman and number 7. And let's just move up the draft board. Let's just do it together. Who has they would? Of course, it depends on who's on the board at 6 on draft night, right? If somebody who they don't expect to fall to number 6, who's very high on their draft board, is there, then yeah, less likely to do it. But if the draft board falls the way that we all expect it to on draft night, and the Thunder are sitting there at 6, and the Warriors really desperately want to move up from 7 to 6, I think Wiseman in number 7 gets them there. Now, I'm not saying that the Warriors should do that. It depends on who's there at 6, depends on the value that could be there at 7, all those things. But that's not the question that Chris is asking me, so that's not the question I'm going to answer. No, he's just asking, can they move up? I think Wiseman in 7 gets you up to 6. You've got Orlando there at number 5. I think Wiseman in 7 gets you up to number 5 with the Magic as well, because I think there's guys at 7 that the Magic would really like. A guy like Keon Johnson, for example, makes a lot of sense for Orlando. And then you're obviously getting a guy like Wiseman. They have guys, I know, in that front court. They have Mo Bamba, they have Jonathan Isaac and stuff, but they're not really in a position to pick and choose what kind of talent that they can get. I think a guy like Wiseman can work with Isaac. I think a guy like Wiseman can even work with Mo Bamba in not in a lineup, but in a rotation. You got a little bit of different flavors there at center. It doesn't hurt to get more centers on that roster because you don't know if Wiseman or Bamba are going to be your long-term answer there now that Vucevic is gone. So I do think that the Magic would do that trade. I think seven and Wiseman is enough to get you up to number five. Number four, Toronto at number four. That's where it gets tricky to me. The Raptors are sitting there. They're going to have an opportunity to get one of these top four guys. Most mock drafts have Jalen Suggs falling to them at number four. And I think if Suggs is there at four, I have a hard time seeing Toronto moving down for all the way from four to seven for Wiseman. It really depends on what Toronto thinks of Wiseman. If they loved Wiseman last year and they love Wiseman still right now, I could see them doing it. But four to seven in this draft is a pretty steep drop off because you're not only leaving that first top tier of prospects, but you might not even get a chance at that second tier of prospects at number seven. And so for that reason, I don't know that Toronto would do it unless they really love Wiseman. They have to really love Wiseman and love somebody that's there at number seven. So I don't even think if you throw 14 in the mix, it really does makes a difference. And I don't think 14 really makes a difference for anybody at this point. Like 14, you can get a good player, but it's really not all that valuable in a trade when you're talking about trying to move up into like the top three or four in a draft, especially in a draft like this. The Warriors could throw seven, Wiseman, and 14 at Toronto. I think they would have to think about it. And if they're not in love with the guy that it's on the board at number 14, if it's Suggs or somebody else, and they do like somebody at seven, and they do like James Wiseman a lot, then I think they do it. But it completely has to do with their own personal evaluation of Wiseman and who else could be on the board. And then you've got Cleveland at three. That to me is interesting. Wiseman plus seven to number three for the Cavaliers. I think they would ask for 14. I think if the Warriors love who's ever there at number three, whether it be Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, or Jalen Suggs, that could be worth it. But I think it depends on what the Cavs think Jarrett Allen is going to do, what he can make as a restricted free agent, whether or not they want to match that amount. And if they want to try to find a cheaper option, an even younger option than Jarrett Allen, who's not old by any stretch, maybe they say, you know what, let's not deal with the Jarrett Allen restricted free agency. Let's go get our center in the future and James Wiseman, move down to seven, go get a guy who might be a better fit for us than who's there at number three. But if Evan Mobley is there at number three, then maybe they don't do any of that, right? If Houston takes Jalen Green at number two and Detroit takes Cade Cunningham, as we all expect at number one, I don't think the Cavs would move down. And that's where I would stop. I don't see Houston or Detroit trading down, not all the way number seven. If they do trade down, it would be still higher in the draft probably, and then for a lot more assets than Wiseman and a number seven pick in this draft. Our next question comes from For the Love again. Is there a Kevin Huerter comp in this year's draft that the Warriors could target at 14? Corey Kispert is one of the guys who gets most of the comparisons to Kevin Huerter, just because he's an upperclassman, proven three-point shooter. Not my favorite comp for Kevin Huerter. Kevin Huerter's a little bit more bouncy, a little bit more stuff. He could do more off the bounce. He's a little bit better defensively than I think Kispert is, a little bit longer than Kispert is. But I would point to Moses Moody, who in college didn't shoot at the same rate. Huerter was basically a 40, 41% shooter in college. Moses Moody's not quite that. He's closer to 37, 38%. Chris Duarte is an upperclassman, older than Kevin Huerter coming out of Oregon, Duarte is, but a 44, 45% three-point shooter. Maybe not as athletic as Huerter is, but definitely, you know, kind of a long shooting guard type who can nail some open three-pointers and do a little bit more for you on defense. And then the other guy I'd point to is Trey Murphy III. He's 6'9", 206 pounds, shot 40% from three for his career. That, to me, is the guy that reminds me of Kevin Huerter the most, would be Trey Murphy. At 14, probably a reach for a guy like Duarte or Murphy. I think a guy like Kispert or Moody makes a lot of sense at 14. Kispert might not even be on the board by the time the Warriors pick at 14. A guy like Duarte and Murphy, I think they can help you right away. Their upside, there's some questions about their upside. I wouldn't worry so much about their upside if I'm the Warriors at 14. I'm just looking for a guy who could play right away and maybe be my 10th man in my night-to-night rotation. But those are the guys that could probably be a little bit like Kevin Huerter. And again, probably your reach right now, but we'll see what these boards look like by the time the draft rolls around at the end of the month. Impact writes in, if Josh Giddey and Corey Kispert were available at number 14 for the Warriors, who would you pick? Between those two prospects, I like Giddey the most. He's got great playmaking feel, really high-end potential, 6'8", 190-ish pounds. He, to me, reminds me a lot of LaMelo Ball. He is the LaMelo Ball of this draft, similarly coming out of the NBL. Shaky jump shot, questionable consistency on defense, but really long, enough athleticism that you could project forward into him being a good defender and a good finisher at the basket. But really what it comes down to is the guy's 6'8". He's a great playmaker, great vision, great court vision at that height, stuff that you can't replace. So I like Giddey a lot. That said, if I'm the Warriors picking at 14, I would take Kispert over Giddey because I know that Kispert could play right now. I know that Kispert could walk in today, make open jumpers, defend at a relatively good level. He's got enough size, enough length where you could probably have him guard maybe two positions. But he's a guy who I can run off screens and trust to make open shots right now. And the Warriors have a stated need for more spacing, three-point shooting. And Kispert would help solve that. And there's not that many ways to solve that in free agency, right? We'll see what happens with guys like J.J. Redick and Wayne Ellington. But to assume that any of those guys would come to Golden State, you can't do that, right? You can't assume that those guys are coming. So I would try to address that need in the draft. And if Kispert's on the board at 14, I would take him over Giddey. Holding my nose and understanding that Giddey probably ends up being the better player long-term. But in Golden State, I don't know that they could tap into that. I don't know that they have the playing time for him. You know? So I would go with Kispert. I would go with Kispert. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. The NBA playoffs are on, and even though the Warriors aren't a part of it, you can be. Take a look at the spreads, the money lines, over-unders, and more at BetOnline. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered. For all of the news, scores, and odds, it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And with the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all of the parts you need for your car at a traditional store, so do it easily online at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all of the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Then write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Starting July 19th, check out the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former general manager Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts will make selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all of the sports, podcast, music, and news that matters to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Continuing with our mailbag, Manu writes in, why do you think the Warriors fans criticized Wiggins throughout the season, and now they don't want to trade him for players who would add more to the team, like Pascal Siakam and others? So this is a good question from Manu. Why did Warriors fans spend so much of their season panning Andrew Wiggins, criticizing Andrew Wiggins, the times where Wiggins couldn't shoot, right, where he was on a cold streak from three-point range, questioned whether or not he could help take over games in the fourth quarter, his aggressiveness on offense, all the things that have sort of followed Wiggins throughout his career. We heard all of that during the season, and now they're reluctant to trade Wiggins. Now, I'm reluctant to just sort of lump all Warriors fans in and just paint with a broad brush, right? I think there are Warriors fans who liked Andrew Wiggins during the season and remain loyal to Andrew Wiggins now. I think there are fans who don't see Wiggins' upside or fit with this roster as something that's helpful and would prefer to trade him. I also think that there's a lot of Warriors fans who overvalue Andrew Wiggins' value in a potential trade this offseason, because just because he had a great year for the Warriors and a great year, you know, relative to Andrew Wiggins' career so far, I don't think all of a sudden every other team is pounding on the door begging to pay Andrew Wiggins $30 million a year, ready to work out a deal with Bob Myers. I don't think that's the case whatsoever. And the idea of trading Andrew Wiggins for this and that and the other, I think that market is a lot more limited than Warriors fans think it is. That idea of moving Andrew Wiggins and just kind of separating that $30 million contract and getting, you know, a couple of $15 million contracts in return, I've seen that idea on Twitter and on Reddit and things like that. I just don't see it. I don't know what team has a pair of $15 million players that they would be willing to move to take back one Andrew Wiggins at $30 million a year. I don't know the team that's going to be willing to do that. And no, it's not the Indiana Pacers. So that to me is striking. I also understand not wanting to give him up for a guy like Pascal Siakam, because Siakam, although a very good and talented player, not the same fit that Andrew Wiggins is at small forward. Siakam, I think, could play small forward for you. And I think you would have a really interesting lineup and set of combinations that you can get to. But moving Wiggins, Wiseman, and the 7th overall pick straight up for Siakam and not getting any picks back, that to me might be a little much to trade for Siakam. And so, I don't want to speak for Warriors fans who may or may not be in on Andrew Wiggins or may or be trying to trade Andrew Wiggins or whatever it is. But it's a lot more complicated than I think a lot of people are making it out to be. Moving Andrew Wiggins is not all that simple. It's going to take the right deal. And frankly, I don't know if that deal is going to be out there. AB writes in, what's the plan for Oubre? Though talented, he doesn't seem like a good fit for the Warriors. Again, I'm going to use this to tease for tomorrow, everybody. You're going to have to check my article out for themercurynews.com in the morning. If you're not subscribed to the Mercury News, please do so. And if you're not subscribed to Locked On Warriors, you got to do that. Subscribe here on YouTube. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Of course, after that article comes out on the Mercury News, I will eventually get a podcast up probably sometime Wednesday afternoon discussing everything about Kelly Oubre and whatever else I want to talk about. But for now, that'll do it for today. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Locked On Warriors is on YouTube, so watch the show and subscribe to our channel. You can reach me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Of course, you can always send your mailbag questions in there throughout the week. We'll have another mailbag next week. Enjoy your day. Thanks for listening. And hopefully, I'll see you here tomorrow.